Hey, welcome to the HR Happy Hour on Amazon Alexa. It's our debut episode. My name's Steve Bowes. Here's what's in the HR news today. New tech won't just replace workers, it will track them even more closely. I won't do another run at the robots are going to take all the jobs gimmick today. There's plenty you can find on that every day, everywhere. But I thought I'd highlight two examples from different perspectives and contexts about how technology will not just replace some, most, or maybe even all jobs one day, but along the way, how tech will continue to provide ways for employers to track and monitor, coach, guide, punish, reward employees even more closely. First example, recently from our pals at Amazon, probably the most interesting company in the world. Amazon's now making a bracelet that tracks workers' movements and buzzes them if they move in the wrong direction. Here's a quote from a recent article on this topic from Business Insider. Amazon may be looking to improve its workers' efficiencies in new ways. As was spotted by GeekWire, the company was just awarded a patent for a device that would attach to its warehouse workers' wrists and track their movements using ultrasonic waves. In conjunction with a receiver unit, those ultrasonic waves could track where the worker's hand is in real time and guide it to pick out items, then pack them in boxes. If the worker's hand moves in the wrong direction, for example, a slight vibration in the wrist would let them know. So here's the idea, right? The idea Amazon has is to reduce the time that their warehouse workers have to spend looking for items, sorting through boxes and shelves, with the big idea of helping them be more efficient at selecting the necessary items for a given order. But as the Business Insider piece points out well, this kind of technology could also be used to measure employee performance and improvement or regression down to the micro level, like the gesture level. I once had a summer job working in a perishable food distribution center ages ago, and we were measured back then on just one metric, how close we came each day to completing our orders in the estimated amount of time allotted for the orders. So if a given order was meant to be completed, say, in 30 minutes, and it took me 40 minutes to actually turn in the order to the shipping dock, then I would be at 67%. So that's 10 minutes overage on a 30-minute order. Each week, we had to, you know, reach a certain percentage rate. I think it was about 85% in order to stay in good standing on the job. And too many weeks below 85%, you'd eventually get fired. Back then, we thought this was a really harsh, you know, big brother type monitoring system. But at least it did allow for some slack. You could have a bad shift or two. And you could even have a bit of gamesmanship, right? It didn't take too long to figure out the gaps in the wiggle room in the system and find some subtle ways to get to beat it in a way. And since we were provided a real-time update and our percent completion rate after every order we submitted, you could also determine come Friday just how much you had to hustle that day, or you could slide a little bit in order to maintain that 85% for the week. Looking back on it now, it seems pretty reasonable overall to both the company and the workers, but if we thought aggregated performance measurement and targets were big brother back in the day, I can't imagine what we or anyone else would think about performance monitoring and measurement down to the gesture level. That's pretty wild. The second example, this is from the world of sports, and it was taken from a recent analysis of NBA player John Wall and his case for being included on the NBA All-Star team this season. ESPN's Zach Lowe, writing on ESPN.com, provided a bit of data about Wall's performance this season. This is from the ESPN piece. Wall is shooting 42%, his lowest mark since he was a rookie, and he just hasn't played with enough vigor on either end of the floor. One measure of that, he has spent 76.57% of floor time either standing still or walking, the largest such share among all rotation players, according to tracking data from Second Spectrum, which is a monitoring and tracking service for NBA data. Ball-dominant stars need to conserve energy. Some guys shift from walking to turbo mode without spending too much time in between. But regardless, Wall should not be freaking last. He too often stands around when he doesn't have the ball or when a shot is in the air, and he might be able to help on the glass. He switches constantly on defense to avoid chasing his guy around picks. All right, back to my comments. That professional athletes have their performance measured and monitored to a greater degree than most other professions isn't all that surprising, right? After all, metrics and statistics in sports and basketball particularly, like points, rebounds, and assists, they've been part of NBA box scores for decades. But what is newish, or newer anyway, is the technology advances in both video capture and motion analysis that provide data on every step that an NBA player takes during a game. So now, instead of just looking at how many points a player scored in the game and judging his effectiveness based on a combination of things we can count, like points, and sort of the eye test judgment of their effort level and hustle, NBA teams can now analyze and examine exactly what a player did every second he's on the court. Look again at that statistic that Zach Lowe mentioned in the ESPN piece. Wall has been walking or standing exactly 76.57% of the time he's been on the court this season. His activity is being measured to hundredths of a percent, for crying out loud. Can you imagine working in a job where your management had access to your effort down to that level every second you're supposed to be at work? That's just incredible to me. These two examples, and I'm sure there'll be lots more, point out that the impact of new technology on work and workplaces is not limited to total or direct replacement of workers and human roles. Technology also has the effect, or at least can have the effect, of driving ever closer measurement and control over workers and their work performance. I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. Organizations and workers have to be able to understand their work, how to improve, and companies need to continue to get more efficient in order to compete. But there also needs to be consideration of the balance between measurement, control, and workers' ability to exist as people in a setting that may or may not be replacing them, can be seen as dehumanizing them. And until the robots are ready, your organization still needs all these people. That's it today from the HR Happy Hour show on Amazon Alexa. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.